The author Greg McEwen, he tells a story about the day after his daughter was born. His wife was exhausted, but she was still radiant and happy. But Greg was filled with tension. He was on the phone, he's on email still with work, and he actually got invited to a meeting that day. So he felt pressure, I've got to go to the meeting, but he actually knew he should be with his wife and daughter. What did he say? He said yes to the meeting. So he arrives at the meeting, and even the clients, they didn't know why he's there. What are you doing here? And Greg was left with regret. We took a Facebook poll this past few days. 126 of you responded, and 81% of you said we agree or strongly agree that we feel pulled in so many different directions in our life. You mentioned things like health, finances, education, and career. But most of you said, I feel pulled by work and family. It's a sign of a very generous heart when we feel pulled because we want to take care of everyone. But it's detrimental when it leads to neglecting God's priorities. And the sense of stress that a lot of us feel, that a lot of us just live with, is starting to be passed on to our children. I can't stand it sometimes when I ask some, like a kid in grade 3, I say, how are you doing? And they say, busy. You're 8 years old and you're busy? So this can't go on. And if it does, we're going to continue to experience a pain the Lord does not want us to experience. The first reading shows a pressure on the early Christian community to take care of everyone's needs and how the apostles respond to it. So the text begins with a complaint. It says, now during those days, when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. It's the year 36 AD, and the early Christian community in Jerusalem is divided into two language groups. The Hellenists, they speak Greek, and then the Hebrews, they speak Aramaic. And the Hellenists were complaining, our widows aren't getting their food. And the word that they use here in Greek to complain, it's the same word that's used in the Greek Old Testament when the Hebrews were in the wilderness and they're complaining against God. So when they're complaining, this is not a very soft, everyone loves each other kind of complaint. They're really mad. And there's a big problem in the community and there's a real pressure on the leaders. You have to do something about this. You have to take care of everyone. Here is the apostles' response. It says, and the 12 apostles, called together the whole community of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. We will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word. So this is the message for all of us today. The apostles knew it was wrong for them to do something good. Jesus does not expect all of us to do everything that is good. That is impossible. So taking care of widows in the Old Testament, good thing. And it's even commanded in the Old Testament. But the apostles are saying it's actually wrong for them to take care of widows because the apostles have to focus on God's priorities, which is prayer and preaching God's word. So right away, we're going to start asking ourselves, what good things in our lives should we not be doing? And the theological question is, Lord Jesus, what good things do you not want me to do? Because that would mean neglecting your priorities. The apostles' words prove to us, the Holy Spirit does not ask us to do everything that is good. Now, Jesus did not do every single thing that was good. When he was in the town of Capernaum, the people there tried to ask him to stay. Help us, stay with us. Jesus said no. He had a greater mission. He says this, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. Every saint did this. They focused on certain things and not on others. So say Mother Teresa, she and her missionaries of charity, they refused to run schools. Schools are good. Why did they do that? Because they wanted to focus on the poorest of the poor. St. John Paul II, When he was pope, he neglected the administrative part of the universal church. It's called the Roman Curia. He knew he would neglect it in order to focus on the pastoral priorities of the church. And that caused problems in the future. There were real difficulties because he neglected that part. But he knew those problems had to come if he was going to reinvigorate the church. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, in the 1800s in New York, she started this organization to help widows and small children. But she stopped doing it when her husband became sick to take care of him. Sometimes what God asks us to prioritize, it might not seem that important. So for a lot of us, we might think, but taking care of widows is more important than prayer. But the early Christian community realized, not for the apostles, because if our leaders neglect prayer, worshiping God, and discerning what the Holy Spirit is saying, the whole community will fall apart. There will be no one left to take care of widows. This idea of focusing on the Holy Spirit's priorities is why a lot of Christian married couples, they say that our first vocation is to each other, husband and wife, and then to the children. So husband and wife, they need to go out on date nights. They need intimacy. They need conversation. Why? So that they can love their children more, not less. This isn't to be used as some kind of excuse to abandon kids. No, this is to be seen as a way of loving our children more. Why do young people fall in love so easily? Because they spend so much quality time together. And why do married couples fall out of love so easily? Because they spend such little quality time together. So when we have the Holy Spirit's priorities and we see other good things around us that need to be taken care of, it's not a question of either or, do I do this or that? No, it's a question of both and. We can take care of both if we follow the Holy Spirit's lead. By the way, if you ever go out on a date night, you need a babysitter, call me. We will see who gets food poisoning first, me or the kids. Now, the apostles solved their problem by appointing certain people to take care of the widows. They say, therefore, brothers, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task. So in other words, they ask for help and they delegate. They don't just appoint anyone. They look for human qualities. They look for spiritual qualities. And the scripture scholar, Father Raymond Brown, he points out that these decisions, they were willed by the Holy Spirit. And so what we're aiming for today is, we really want to discern what are the Holy Spirit's priorities for us. Now, when they focus on the Holy Spirit's priorities, it leads to wonderful results. The text says, the word of God continued to spread. The number of the disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. So what happens when you follow the Holy Spirit's priorities and other people take care of the other important things? The best thing happens. The church evangelizes. The mission of the church to bring Jesus to other people so that they can experience the fullness of life. That's what happens when we follow the Holy Spirit's lead. And tomorrow morning at Mass, we're going to have the first adult baptism of the year here at our parish. So Chrissy Kendrick, who has been journeying for a long time, beautiful story. You can hear a part of her testimony tomorrow morning. She's going to be baptized, become Catholic, received into God's family. She's going to receive First Holy Communion and confirmation. We praise God that Chrissy's coming into the church. Right now, let's go through 3 quick steps to identify what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Step number 1, we're going to start asking, Holy Spirit, what are the needs? Holy Spirit, I see needs in my life. Is it my parents? Is it my children? Is it some friends? I see some people who need help. Holy Spirit, Show me those needs. And it could be ourselves too. We might be saying, Holy Spirit, I really need a lot of sleep. I need more prayer. I'm looking for a job. I want to improve my health. So the question for online chat right after Mass is a fill in the blank. I just want you to answer this question or just finish off this statement. Lord, I need help blank. You might just say, Lord, I need help to love my family more. Let's say it's something very personal. You don't have to go into detail. But it's really important that we say it publicly, because this is what the early Christians did. Once we admit to God and to other people, there is something in our life that we need to take care of, but we can't. And we have that humility. The Holy Spirit will show us the way forward. So I'd really encourage you, you don't have to go into much detail. Can you just say, Lord, I need help blank here. And the Holy Spirit will guide. The second step, just like the apostles, we're following the apostles, the three steps here. The second step is we have to ask, Holy Spirit, what are your priorities? What are the things that I cannot give up? So we start realizing we can't give up prayer. If you give up prayer, you will be stressed. You will be scattered. You will have no strength or wisdom to choose good over evil. You won't be able to love the people who need you. Holy Spirit, what are your priorities? And finally, number three, we're going to ask, Holy Spirit, whom can you send? Whom can we appoint to help us? So God will reveal it. If we ask for help in his timing, he will send someone. It could be a family member, it could be a friend, could be someone from this parish. We just have to say, Holy Spirit, this is it. But you've revealed to me my priorities. I can't take care of this. The Holy Spirit will send someone. Now, maybe some of you, I think among the 19% of you, you're thinking, I don't feel that pulled in many different directions. If you do, if you're in that favorable situation, would you be able to help those that do? Could you be more perceptive to where the Holy Spirit is calling you to step it up? One thing I want to suggest in terms of appointing people is I think we should start appointing our children to certain tasks. So we can appoint our teenagers to certain household chores, including taking care of their siblings. I'm a big believer that once someone turns 16, at least in Canada, they should get their driver's license. Why? So that they can do errands for their family, they can help out, not so that they can avoid taking the bus, not so that they can goof off, but so that they can contribute. So you might want to start praying about, as a family, can I appoint my children a certain task? I need to appoint you to call grandma, call grandpa. I need you to support someone with a developmental disability. If you've got little kids, appoint them to step on your back and give you a massage. That's why God made them so small. Now, you don't just randomly appoint people. I appoint you to clean my toilet. No, you, just like the apostles did, you look for the human and you look for the spiritual qualities. You discern it together in prayer, and then you equip them so that they can succeed, so that they can bear fruit. Cynthia was 12 years old when she and her father began a special night out in San Francisco. They had been planning this night for months, looking forward to the most beautiful night, father and daughter. And this was the plan. She was going to meet her father at 4:30 p.m. at the end of his presentation, and they were going to sneak out early before all the people wanted to greet her father. And then they were going to go to Chinatown for her favorite food. Afterwards, they were going to buy a souvenir, walk through the city, see the lights, and then they're going to go see a movie, take a taxi back to the hotel, have a swim, have a sundae, and then watch the late show. At 4:30 p.m., just as they met, and they were leaving her father's presentation, an old friend met her father. And the father and this friend were so excited to meet each other, and the friend invited her father to dinner. And the father said, Bob, it's so great to see you. Dinner at the Wharf sounds great. And Cynthia, 12 years old, was devastated. She doesn't like seafood, she said. She didn't want to go spend the night with a stranger. And worst of all, the night that she had been looking forward to for months with the hero of her life, it was over. But her father continued, but not tonight, Bob. Cynthia and I have a special night planned, don't we? He winked at her, grabbed her by the hand, and they went off. And they had the night they had been looking forward to, the night they needed, the night the Lord wanted them to have together. And later in life, Cynthia said that her father's decision that night, quote, bonded him to me forever because I knew what mattered to him most was me, end quote. Cynthia's father was able to say no to this old friend because he was clear on the Holy Spirit's priorities. If you're a father or you're a mother, please remember the Holy Spirit's primary mission for you. And on this Mother's Day weekend, let's see if we can all bring joy and peace to our moms. The Holy Spirit does not want us to do everything that is good. That's impossible. He wants us to carry out His mission, that which is best, that which only we can do. And so we're going to do those three steps. We're going to admit where there is a need. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit, what are your priorities? And then number three, we're going to ask for help.